We're going to read two verses from Romans chapter 1. Andrew's going to read them for us in a moment. And I'm going to be talking to you just for 10 minutes on these verses and a few that follow. It is bad news, and I need to prepare you for it. You won't like it. You'll wish I hadn't said it. So listen carefully. Andrew, could you come and read us Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to 20?
The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what has been known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse.
Did you hear it? The first part of the really bad news? God is angry. God is angry. That's what it means when it says in verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed. Wrath means anger. God's wrath is his anger. When people get angry, they show it by screaming and shouting. Maybe they lie down on the floor and bang their head and their hands and their feet, and they have a tantrum. Has anybody ever done that? Did you say Alice? That wasn't very kind. But I think we all know what it's like to get angry, don't we? It's revealed by the things we shout and the things we do. Maybe your brother isn't giving you the toy you want. Or your mum says it's time for bed and you want to stay up. Or you want a different food to the one that's been put on the table in front of you and you get angry. Or maybe it's for another reason. People get angry for lots of different reasons. I've seen grown-ups shouting and pointing and sometimes fighting with each other because they were angry. It is not nice. Now listen carefully. God's anger is not like that. He doesn't scream and shout and bang his fists. When God gets angry, it is settled, steady, and right. So that's the first thing. God is really angry. Who's God angry with? Well, who knows what this is? I'll come to that in a minute. God is angry with people who say they don't know him, but actually they do. It says in verse 18, God is angry with all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth. Here is a very nice tent. Who's got one of these at home? They're very nice until you try to put them away. And putting them away is quite hard. You have to squish them or suppress them. Would anybody like to come and help me try? Come on, Ben. Ted, you can come and help me. We have to squish it so it goes into this box. Okay, go. Go. No, no, it's not going to fit yet, is it? Keep going. Squish it. Suppress it. Squash it in. You're getting somewhere. I think you're nearly there. Has he done it? Okay, let's go and see if it's worked. No. You've been trying to suppress that tent into this box. But it won't go. Go and sit down. Thank you for helping me. I do know how to do that. We suppress the truth when we say there is no God. Or we live in this world as though there is no God. The Bible says we only have to look at what God has made to know there is a maker. When you read a book, what do you know from the very beginning? So there's one. I couldn't find that one, but I found this one in our house. It says on the front cover something very important. Not just the title, but what do you know about every book that's ever been written? Maxwell? The author. Who knows the author of The Gruffalo and the Gruffalo's Child? Okay, it's on the screen. You can read it. Julia Donaldson, pictures by Axel Schaefer, I think. There you go. You know that that book has an author. What about this one? Who knows this one? Who's reading this one? Or who's read this one? Little House on the Prairie. Have you not read this book, everybody? Sorry, this is not. This is a classic. The author. Who knows the author? Laura Ingalls Wilder. Okay, this book has got an author as well. There she is, Laura Ingalls Wilder. Well, every book has an author, and when you look at a painting, what do you know about a painting when you look at a painting? Here's one. Now, I wonder how well educated you are. Okay, if you're under 20, do you know the name of that painting and who painted it? William is the only one. Oh no, Joshua does as well. And Chris. Let's try William. Name of the painting? And the painter. Leonardo da Vinci. There he is. Okay, books have authors. Paintings have painters. What about this? When I show you this, I want you to tell me what you know when you look at this. Oh, come on. Oh dear, can't really see it. That is a night sky with the Milky Way visible in it. When you look at that, what should you know? Just like when you look at a book, it has an author, and a painting, it has a painter. Do you know, Laura? Was that Abby? Abby. God made it. When you look at enormous, great, big things like mountains and stars and galaxies and skies, or little tiny things, that those are pictures of cells in our body that you can't see with your naked eye. But when scientists look down at cells with their microscopes, they can see them. What should they know when they look at them? God made them. Now listen to what the Bible says. God's wrath is being revealed against those who suppress the truth. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, they've been clearly seen, being understood from what's been made, so that men, that's all people, men and women, are without excuse. When we don't admit that the world around us is all the evidence we need for God, and instead we try and avoid it, we are suppressing the truth. Have you ever known the truth and tried to hide it? Has that ever happened to you? I'm going to tell you a little bit of an embarrassing story now. When I knew the truth and I tried to hide it, I was at school and I had some raisins in my school bag. And it was in the middle of a lesson and I decided I want to eat some raisins. Now, in my school, you're not allowed to eat raisins during lessons. Are you allowed to in your school? So I did it very quietly and I got a few and I tried to put them secretly in my mouth like this. But the teacher said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Nothing." And he said, "Show me your hands." So I quickly dropped the raisins and showed him my hands. And then he walked over to my chair and saw all the raisins on the floor. And the truth was, I had been eating raisins, but I was suppressing the truth. I was not in his good books, and I had to be punished. The Bible says that you and I and all people everywhere know God, and we should give him an honest response. What should we do when we see what God has made? We should admit that he is amazing and that he deserves to be in charge of our lives and he's bigger and better than us, and that if he made the world and everything in it, he deserves to tell us how it should go. But we don't want him to be in charge, do we? We want to live our lives our own way and not do what he says. so we suppress the truth. God is angry. That's the first lesson. Secondly, he's angry with us. That's the second lesson. Like a book which has an author or a painting which has a painter, we all need to do, all we need to do is look around at the world God's made and know there is a creator. But we don't. We ignore him. We should give him the honor and the worship, but we give it to other things. Think of the thing you want most for your birthday or in life. Does it have anything to do with God? My guess is, for many of us, we want to be good at football, or we want to be successful in life, or we want to have lots of money, and we make those things more important than living God's way in God's world. It's much easier to worship something you've made than to worship the God who made you. If I admit there is a God who made me, then I have to do what he says. But if I make up a God, then I can make him like me, and I make him ask me to do what I want. Do you see? That's what we all do. That's what makes God angry. But we still haven't seen what God's anger looks like. Remember, it wasn't like that first picture I showed you. God's anger is not screaming and shouting and flying off the handle. God is not angry like that. The answer to that question is going to be the most surprising answer we've got. He doesn't scream when he's been made angry. He doesn't explode or send us to our room. God simply, listen carefully, lets us go. That's what he does. God lets us go. Imagine I was walking my dog. I need to come down here. Here's me walking my dog. Who knows my dog? He's called Solo. He is on the lead. Now, when I walk my dog, or I run with him, and when I run with him on a lead, he loves walking and exploring and tugging. And some of you have been pulled over because Solo's so strong, he pulls on the lead because he wants to go where he wants to go. But if I run with him near a road, you know what he wants to do most? He wants to bite the tires of the cars going past. And they go past very fast. And he just goes, like that. And if I let him go, he would try and bite the tires of those cars and he would get run over. That's what he wants. What do we want? We want to be led off the lead and not held back by God's rules. We know there's a God, but we don't want him to be in charge. And the sad news is, God says, because you don't want me, I'm going to let you have what you want. And he lets us off. He lets us off the lead and lets us go. Look at verse 28 in the passage, those of you who've got the Bible open. Since they didn't think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over, which means he let them off the lead to do whatever they wanted. He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. And they've become filled with all this list of things that I read out at the start. Listen carefully, because there's one of them I know applies to all of us. Many apply to lots of us. They've become filled, now that they've been let off the lead, with every kind of wickedness and evil and greed and depravity. They're full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Now that is a nasty list. It's a taste of all the awful and horrible things that people say and do to each other in the world. And they all follow on from people not wanting God in their life. We get what we want, and it is horrible. You can know that God is angry with you if you disobey your parents. That's sobering, isn't it? If you disobey your parents, you can know that God is angry with you. Well, the Bible tells us this morning that that's true. The wrath of God is being revealed. God's angry. With who? With us, who press the truth. We squish it down. How can we see it? By giving in to our sin. God gives us over to our sin. One thing we should do, this is to finish off, when we look around the world, is we should know that there is something really, really wrong. Who can tell me some things that are wrong with the world? I'll start you off. There are people who have nowhere to live. What else is wrong with the world? Go on, Maxwell. There's war and fighting. What else is wrong with the world? There are people who don't have enough when lots of people have too much. Poverty. What else? There is illness. There is sadness. There is hatred. All these things are in the world. Why do these things happen? Well, the Bible's answer is that God has taken off our lead. He's let us go the way we want to go, and this is what it looks like. We've said no to God, and there's nothing we can do to make it better. So why do we come to church? Why do we read our Bibles? Why do we get together like this? Surely just telling me that bad news just makes it worse. Well, the answer is that the good news, which there is, wouldn't be good news unless you realized how bad the bad news is. Sometimes we need to go to the doctors to be told we're really sick. There's Solo off his lead. There's a doctor's pills. You need to go to the doctor sometimes to be told you're sick so that you're ready to take the medicine. And that's what comes if you read on. I told you at the start that this was going to be bad news. Have you seen how bad it is? The horrid, nasty things we feel and see and hear in the world, they're what we get for ignoring God. He made us and he wants us to live in his world, his way. But we've been pulling at the lead, straining to get off. And eventually he said, off you go then. And now we face the world's problems. Now, just in case this is a one-off and you don't come back and hear the rest of the story, or you don't read on in the book of Romans, I want to tell you where it's heading. God being angry with us is not the end of the story. Thank goodness. He's provided a way out. Only one way, but it is a gift and it's free and it doesn't cost you anything. You don't have to do anything to get it. You just have to receive it as a gift. And do you know what that way is? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified for you. So that we can be forgiven and come back into a right relationship with God. Now, you need to read on in Romans and study it yourself, or come back next week, or study it in the week, or talk to your parents. But know this, God is angry. He's angry with us. And the horrible things in this world are the consequence of us saying no to God. It's not the end of the story. There's good news to come. Let's think about that for a moment. We're going to sing our last song, May the God of Hope Fill Us with Joy and Peace. Can I have the musicians, please?